This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, playing the guitar like a piano. But first, the novels of Alan First have been described as Casablanca, the movie, that is, between covers. Gray streets, smoky corners, rumpled bogeymen, seeking to save a small corner of a seedy world being trampled by strutting tyrants. He is considered the reigning master of the historical spy novel. Set in grim-occupied Europe, Paris, Warsaw, Budapest, but especially Paris of the late 1930s. His most recent novel is Blood of Victory, and his antihero is now a Russian writer, I.A. Sarabin, who's enlisted by British intelligence to try to block the Nazi war machine from the oil needed to keep churning. Alan First joins us in our studios. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
What has fascinated you about this period that you've written about in a number of novels now?
I think people rose to their worst and their best in mid-century. Why exactly, I don't know. But you can certainly find the worst easily enough right before and during World War II, and you can also find the best. A time of serious evil, a time of serious cowardice, a time of serious heroism. Everybody had to do something. You could not, during that war, anywhere in Europe or United States or most of Asia, simply stay home and avoid the whole thing. It wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give people, our listeners, on the off chance people aren't familiar with your work, a real idea of your work. If I could get you to read a passage, may I call I.A. Sarabin a hero?
He certainly is a hero.
Yeah. Let me get you to read a section and set it up for us.
Yeah, in this scene, the hero of the book, Sarabin.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced it.
No, that's all right. I think it's transliterated from Russian, so I guess it's okay. In this scene, he's in Bucharest, and he's gone there with a French diplomat's wife as a pair of intelligence agents, I guess you would say, trying to...
He's involved with the French diplomat's wife, too.
Yes, he is, but they're also colleagues.
Yeah.
And what they're doing there is trying to wake up, so to speak, the former commercial intelligence network of a businessman in Switzerland. And they intend to use this to make an attempt to block the importation of Romanian oil to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So in this scene, he's in Bucharest. He's just had a rather difficult experience. He sits down at a cafe, and he finds a damp, day-old copy of Paris Soir, the leading Parisian daily of occupied Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the paper did not make him feel better. The German propaganda line was not overt, but it was everywhere. "We are crusaders," it said, "out to rid Europe of Bolsheviks and Jews, and, regrettably, have been forced to occupy your country. Please pardon the inconvenience." Thus, 20 minutes of Paris Soir gave Sarabin a bad case of traveler's melancholy. What one learned not to see up close was unpleasantly clear from a distance. Life in Paris, said the paper, had always been amusing, and it still was. There were reviews of films and plays, romantic farce, much the current taste, recipes for stewed rabbit and turnips with vinegar. It may be all there is to eat, but why not make it delicious? Interviews with the man on the street. Whatever happened to plain old common courtesy? There was rather hazy news of the campaigns in North Africa and Greece, with expressions like mobile defense and strategic readjustment in the battle lines, and news of Roosevelt urging Congress to loan money and ships to Britain. Gullible people, the Americans. How sad.
You don't make that stuff up, do you?
That really was the attitude of newspapers under German occupation. It was rather clever. It certainly wasn't shouting and boisterous and bullying. It was...
Which wouldn't presumably have communicated to the French public.
Well, the French public doesn't respond to that. The Germans were, in effect, they had a good propaganda line. They were saying, oh, come on, can't we get along together here? It's such a terribly difficult world. You and I know in our heart that we're the only force against the Bolsheviks here, and you know how much worse than us they'd be.
Mm-hmm.
We're terribly sorry that we won the war and beat your army, but let's just try to adjust to these things as best we can, and we'll be gone before you know it. Oh, and so they were. But it took some doing.
6 years. How much research do you undertake for a paragraph like that or for a novel?
Quite a bit of research. That paragraph in itself probably involved 5 or 6 books, read at different times for different books. Mm-hmm. But I do, you know, after you do enough research, I think this is my 7th Blood of Victory in this series. After you do enough of these, you begin to have a kind of feel for what might have happened in any year, in any month, in any country, in any city. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I find it interesting that you saw the now-past Soviet Union close-up, and that's what brought to you the idea that maybe you wanted to write about, can we fairly say, certainly we can, it applies to the Nazis, a previous menace.
A previous menace.
In the world's history. I wonder if you've treated yourself to extrapolating what you hope readers will absorb from that from contemporary events now.
I've never been particular about this. In other words, I never understood this on a very material basis. I would suppose mm-hmm. that over history, secret police are secret police, that totalitarian states are totalitarian states, and I think all Americans understand and have appropriate histories that prepare them to understand that you have to watch out for your freedom in all kinds of ways, or you stand a chance of losing it. Mm-hmm. So that's perhaps the general message that tends to sort of hang around like smoke at the edges of these books. There's no question that it's there, because these books are about people who did have freedom and then discovered that it was gone and there was no way for them to get it back.
Mr. First, thanks very much.
And thank you.
The master of the historical spy novel, Alan First, his new novel is Blood of Victory.